Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Kelly Leonard, the Vice President of Creative Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development at the Second City, and the host of the Getting to Yes and podcast, which you can hear everywhere, including WGNradio.com, is in our studio. Nice to see you again, Mr. Leonard.
Happy New Year, John.
I was talking about the Chevy Chase documentary, which I saw. I'm Chevy Chase, and you are not, on CNN, of all places, yeah, over the holidays. You watched it, too?
I absolutely did.
And I don't know where to start. Maybe just give me your quick summary of what you thought of the doc, and then I'll ask you about Chevy Chase.
So I thought it was a very compelling film. I thought it was a very good documentary. I've probably used this line before with you. It's one I've used often when people talk to me about working with comedy actors, comics, that no one got into comedy because they're well-adjusted. Yeah. That's not a factor. And another line that I think I used on here came from a book and an interview I did with Morgan Housel, whose brother-in-law said, everyone's behavior makes sense if you have enough information. And I think with this documentary, you learned a lot about why Chevy Chase is not a particularly nice person, and that's there. He didn't redeem himself in this documentary.
The things that jumped out at me were that he was abused as a child by,
yep,
his mother and stepfather, and that,
yep,
he was a cocaine addict, and that he was put into a coma for 8 days during COVID.
Right.
So I didn't know his health was that bad. I didn't know he was a drug addict. I didn't know that he was abused. Are those the things you're talking about?
I think so. I mean, the more recent stuff is less interesting to me. I was looking at his filmography, and I know they sort of go through it in the documentary, but the last like decent film he did was, I think, Three Amigos. That was released in 1986. So... And the behavior with Community on that TV series was well noted, and that's when I started, well, I heard earlier about, look, I'm in the comedy industry. Everyone knows Chevy Chase is a jerk. That is a common thing. I don't know him personally. I've never met him.
But, has your wife?
Nope, she hasn't either. But we've worked with tons of people who do. We've heard these stories, not just from them or from others. So this, you know what this thing reminded me of is... do you remember the comedian Shelley Berman?
Sure.
All right. Do you know about how he ruined his career? Okay. So Shelley Berman, he was with the Second City predecessor, the Compass Players. So there's a connection there. And I do know Shelley Berman. I met him, the late Shelley Berman. He was the most popular stand-up in America. He did those phone call bits that Bob Newhart is so well known for. He did that before Bob Newhart. And so for a couple years, hit albums, like he's all over the place. He's selling out all these clubs. And a documentary group came to him and said they wanted to film a documentary about a working comedian. And he said, great, like you could cover everything, which is what they did. And they also, like Chevy Chase, insisted that they had editorial control. So what happened with Shelley Berman is they basically saw all his behavior offstage, which was terrible. Him berating people, him actually taking a phone and ripping it off the wall because he was so mad that it was ringing. And when the documentary, it was for TV, it came out, his career was ruined. He was bankrupt 2 years later. And to me, that was a case of someone who is maybe more interested in notoriety than they were in doing good work or showing their work or being good to people. And so that really hurt Shelley Berman at the beginning of his career. What's interesting to me is that Chevy Chase is doing this at the end of his career. He's 82, I think, right? And you wonder why at this point do you want people leaving with your legacy being that you're not a nice person? I didn't understand that.
In other words, were Chevy Chase more aware, he could have tried to patch it up. He seemed to be unaware of or indifferent to how he was perceived out there. Did you get that feeling? There were times in the New York Times review of it where they actually sat down with Chevy Chase and the producer, and she said, people think you're a bleep bleep. And he, yeah, goes, really? And she goes, yeah. I mean, she was square up just, yeah, talking it back to him. And there are times where he goes, well, I'm me.
Right.
And that's not true. Or I'm surprised that people would say those things.
I just finished this book by a Harvard professor. Her name is Leslie John, and the book is called Revealing the Underrated Power of Oversharing. And what she...
Give me that title again.
It's called Revealing the Underrated Power of Oversharing.
Huh.
And the idea is that people who self-disclose honestly about themselves are generally more agreeable and get along with people and have more success in the world over the long haul. And people who are disagreeable tend to not self-disclose. Chevy Chase, to me, was that. He, as you said, he seemed supremely unaware of his behavior, his actions, how other people felt about him, other than his family. That was the one thing that was very interesting, is that the girls and the wife all seemed like they love him unconditionally. He seemed to love them unconditionally. He just didn't seem to be able to do it outside that orbit.
Yeah, and they support him, and they're critical of the fact that he wasn't invited to the Saturday Night Live 50-year anniversary to perform on stage.
I mean,
they were really on his team, and I thought that was really lovely. Now, we're talking to Kelly Leonard. I do want to ask you, though, a little bit more about his talent.
Yep.
They talked about what a supreme talent he was, what a golden child he was, and how not only could he do TV, but he could do movies. They even made him let him do a TV talk show, which was a disaster.
Totally tanked.
And even Mike Ovitz said, oh, this will go badly. But his attorney at the time, who was acting as his agent, pushed the idea, and then Chevy wasn't aware that it's a lot harder to do than it seems when you watch some of these guys do it. A couple of weeks ago, a documentary about Chevy Chase, of all people. I'm Chevy Chase and You're Not. A woman who had made a name for herself tackling some difficult-to-tackle characters. She has done some pretty good documentaries in the past, right?
Yeah, Robin Williams is one of them, right?
Right, yeah. So then they reached out to Chevy Chase, and he said, well, but I didn't, who was Lance Armstrong? I think she did
Yeah, she did Lance Armstrong.
And his attitude was, wait, but these people have all got problems or did wrong things. Like Lance Armstrong, you know, he was a cheater. He says, but I haven't done anything wrong. I can't imagine I would be an interesting subject. Well, didn't he find out?
Did these people not Google themselves? I don't, you know, we were just talking about the self-disclosure thing, and one of the, like, the last chapter, she talks about, like, when self-disclosure can go wrong, and how, and she says when it's inauthentic, it can go wrong. And the example she used is, and I forget this guy's name, but you'll remember this, he was the head of, like, I don't know, Hyper Studios or something, and he had to let go a bunch of people, and he posted a video of him crying on LinkedIn about how he had to do this, and he got just annihilated.
I'll bet.
And so I Googled him to be like, hey, what's this like? And he's still like out there self-promoting himself. But by the time you get to page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in this Google search, it is all about how terrible he is for doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
But about Chevy Chase, doesn't there come a point? So the documentary reminds us, maybe first time informs us, that his mother and his stepfather were abusive to him. And that scarred him. And I think we can all appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point as an adult, I don't know if it's therapy or just some measure of awareness. This is easy for me to say, I didn't have that life. But don't you have to take responsibility for your actions? Is it enough to say you get to be a jerk to all these people because you had a bad childhood?
One of my favorite concepts in the psychology literature is a thing called post-traumatic growth. And Scott Barry Kaufman introduced this to me, who's a psychologist. And the basically the idea is that you can fuel personal growth from a tragedy. I've experienced that. You know, we've talked about this a ton. When I lost my daughter, which was the worst, Nora, I can say as I'm sitting here, I'm a better person. You know, it made me be way more introspective about how I want to live my days, how I want to interact with people. Not that I was like a horror show before, though there's probably people who think that. But I know that I found growth out of that experience. And that became a choice because I also knew what the other side of that potentially was, which was a very dark place. And again, like, I'm not here to judge Chevy Chase. I don't know him personally. And here's the other thing. Very gifted comedian. I mean, the physical comedy was amazing. The Weekend Update stuff. I mean, Weekend Update, which is maybe one of the most iconic pieces of that show, and the reason a lot of people tune in is because of him. I mean, he set the stage for that.
What do you think about them jilting him on the anniversary show?
Well, I think there was a reason they did that, because no one wanted to work with him.
But his daughter said, and I think she was right, all they had to do was open the show with him saying live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
That would have checked the box, but they didn't even do that. It seemed deliberate to him.
It might have been. It probably was. I mean, you are juggling a lot of personalities at that point. And, you know, Lorne Michaels' relationship with Chevy Chase, it doesn't seem like it's particularly close at this point.
No, it does not. So at the end of the show, you know, at the beginning of this conversation with you, I said, I'm not so sure I liked this documentary. And you said you thought it was well done.
I did.
I guess I do think it was well done. But what I think I'm reacting to is that I don't think I like Chevy Chase that much as a result of this.
No.
And the fawning over him as this comic genius, when everything he said in the moment now was silly. He wasn't funny. He wasn't that introspective or interesting. And he was always laughing. And when she would ask him a very pointed question about maybe his childhood or his relationship with others, he would then just do some pratfall or some gag.
Right.
And he struck me as that sort of silly, maybe even obnoxious uncle that comes to dinner for Thanksgiving and you really don't enjoy him that much, but everybody laughs because it's Uncle Chevy. That
right.
was my feeling about the latest version of him.
Yeah, look, to me, the documentary is a cautionary tale. And in that, it's a good film. The caution is, don't be like that. And he's out there promoting this thing. Here's another thing I thought of just now with this, which is, do you remember when Second City produced Rod Blagojevich Superstar?
No.
So when Rod got caught.
Locally.
Yeah, locally. So we produced the show called Rod Blagojevich Superstar, which was telling the story of Blago. And it was a huge hit. We did it just like it was Tuesdays and Wednesdays at the Second City ETC. We transferred it to Chicago Shakespeare Theater so it could have a bigger run. And we convinced him to come to the show. And by convinced, we gave him money. So this show is eviscerating him. And he sat through and watched it and laughed the whole time and then did an improv set with us afterwards.
Really?
Yep.
I almost believe that.
It's true. I was there. I remember Barbara Gaines, who was the founder of Chicago Shakespeare Theater and the artistic director, was against a wall with me as we're watching this all unfold. And she turns to me and goes, Kelly, I don't know if this is my least proud or proudest moment in theater.
So what does that tell us about Rod Blagojevich?
That kin with Chevy Chase. Narcissists?
Yeah, I was just going to say, at least.
At least.
I have more unkind things to say about the personality makeup of the former governor. One last thing. Then they show him traveling with Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
In North Dakota and Iowa in the upper Midwest. And then after this movie shows, he comes out onto stage with a rapturous crowd. The place is packed. And Chevy then answers questions with his wife about the show. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. So that has become a big thing. John Cusack was doing that with showing Say Anything and then doing. And it's part of the realities of the industry we're in right now, which is there's so little work for people. You know, when Harrison Ford is doing sitcoms, do you think that gives space for the next young actor? They're not making a lot of stuff right now. The job loss in Hollywood is staggering.
Hmm.
And it gets talked about in the trades, but not much elsewhere. But it's a real, real problem. And so people are then, there's so many people who come from Second City or who were on Saturday Night Live who were not stand-ups, right? They came out of the improv and sketch world. And they're all doing stand-up because they need to make money, and that's a thing that they can do, and they can go sell tickets at a club.
You said that you thought he was a comic genius. Do you think he was a good actor?
I think that at the beginning of his career, he was a good comic actor, but without much range. And so when you don't explore your range as a comic actor, you sort of fall off, which I think is what happened to him. Conversely, look at Bill Murray's career. Especially with the Wes Anderson films. I mean, he was able to, he had a shtick, but then he goes and works with Wes Anderson, and it's a variation on the shtick, but it is different, and there's real acting going on there.
Oh, yeah. I don't put Bill Murray in the same league as Chevy Chase, or vice versa.
No, I think, but Bill's also a difficult character.
Yeah, I suppose so. So you subscribe to the notion that really funny people have had a reason for being really funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of damage to get that funny.
Hmm. Well, it's always interesting to hear your observations about these and other things, Kelly. Kelly Leonard is the Vice President, Creative Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development over at the Second City. And he's still doing the Getting to Yes and podcast. You want to just plug the next step?
Yeah. So right now, the podcast that's up right now is with Tony Wagner, who's an education expert and does not have kind things to say about the way we do education in this country.
Okay. There's the analysis of that. Nice to see you, my friend.
Great to see you.